Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by Screen Stalker and Wrestle Talk's Laurie Blake.
Hey, bud.
Hey, bud. How's it going?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Very, very well. You've been a very busy bee with all your Screen Stalker nonsense.
I've been a busy bee, yes. Yeah. It's been a non-stop couple of weeks.
Mm.
Slowly settling in.
Yes. Yeah.
Hopefully. Less late night going forward.
With fingers crossed, that'll be how it goes. But you did actually have the day off the other day, though. You went to an afternoon tea.
Did indeed at the I think it's called Vertigo Tower. I'm not sure entirely. It's in like Bank in central London. It was a Christmas present from my missus's mum. It was a little towy for my taste. I'm gonna say it was a little. The only way is Essex. Fairly gaudy. Chairs, which is the telltale sign that someone from Essex has been there. it's quite cool though. We had an amazing view because it was like, oh, we'd been given the window that overlooks like St. Paul's.
Oh, wow.
So that was cool because it's like 42 stories up.
Okay.
And basically the restaurant goes all the way around the edge of this building. So you get like, there's really good views. So there's obviously like, you can see the river and St. Paul's as well. So we had the river, St. Paul's, you can see the Tate and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Great view. People sitting at the back, just looking out over Hackney. God bless them. God bless those people that ended up round the back in the chump seats. It was like really nice, like, and fairly inexpensive really for what it is. Because like, I think you spend most of the money on the voucher for champagne.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell because when they bring the sandwiches over and they do the classic, like, you know, we're doing the Savoy afternoon tea style thing here. We were like, I also went to the Savoy for afternoon tea last year for my missus's birthday. And that's very fancy. So that's like they describe all of their sandwiches as like, this is line-caught salmon from the Scottish Highlands.
Foie gras.
Yeah. This is a cucumber and mint jus sandwich, blah, blah, blah. This one, they went, this is tuna and mayonnaise. This one is salami. And this one is cucumber and butter. As if butter was a feature of a sandwich. Like, butter is adhesive. Butter sticks the two bits of the sandwich together. It's not... Butter is lubricant.
And one would also assume that the salami sandwich would also have some form of lubricant in there
as
well.
Yeah, I know, but salami...
Salami.
Salami is off the chizane, isn't it? Like salami is like they didn't. It's not ham, mate. It's salami. This is imported stuff. This is the proper stuff.
I got it down the market.
I got it down the market.
Got a great deal on it as well.
My mate brings it back from France or wherever the hell it is on his holidays,
on his booze cruise. Oh, I used to love a booze cruise. Get on the ferry. That was one of the first things I did when I was at university.
Well, no more.
Yeah, well, yeah,
not
quite.
Not for you anymore.
Do
you think people will be like a sort of drunk Dunkirk? Drunkirk.
Drunk.
They'll be like going over in a little fleet of boats and coming back with cheap French booze.
And I was part of the metal society. You just get around and give them, like, listen to metal music, and you would all go down to the local metal club all together on a Friday night. Very, very cool, obviously. But like the first organized activity that they did, like big, was that we did a booze cruise over like Halloween weekend. We got the ferry, like an overnight ferry to Calais. and then a ferry back the following day. So you were literally there, like you were overnight. So we just got like massively hammered on the ferry going over, spent loads of money. And then you have then about 3 to 4 hours in Calais before you get on a ferry and go back again. Hindsight being 2020, bit of a waste of time. And I did buy some boots because I felt like, you know, you probably should. And I also bought a foot long's worth of Twix.
That is more Twix than anyone. Because the problem with getting a foot long of Twix is that there's another stick of foot long Twix next to it.
So I got this big thing and it was a foot long worth of Twix. And I was like, oh, brilliant. Well, I'm in France. Ergo, it's most likely cheaper because that's where you come in for a booze cruise. And it wasn't actually. I'd have spent about the same amount. About the same amount.
I'm buying an immense amount of Twix. An ungodly amount of Twix.
And then I got them home and I like putting chocolate in the fridge. And then all of a sudden you're looking at this like, you know, meters worth of Twix. And you're like, well, I can't put this in the fridge, can I? You're
tipping out your mum's shelves to be like, look, I need to get my Twix in.
I've got to move past everyone's, like, you know, bags of mints that they've got.
Scoop it all out.
So that was my one and only booze cruise that I did on my own. I bought loads of Twix.
You failed at the booze cruise.
It was my wife's birthday yesterday. Mm-hmm. We went to the theater.
Ooh.
We did indeed. So I took her out to Honest Burger in Covent Garden.
Big choice.
Big choice, because they've got a delicious plant-based burger there. Mm-hmm. Which they just call the plant. And it was the Impossible Burger. So it's the one where you bite into it. It's like red in the middle. So it looks like it's been like medium well-cooked meat.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic. It was absolutely delicious. Their onion rings, like, my wife said I could wear this as a bangle.
They're huge, aren't they?
They are massive. Yeah. So big. And the batter's delicious. And then we went to go see Waitress in the West End.
And how was that?
Really good. The songs
are... Did you like a slice of their pie?
Well, I mean, I would have had a slice of their pie because they do sell like little mini individual pie things with like the logo on it and stuff like that. But a bit rich for my blood. I was trying not to.
I spent it all on Twix years, too many years ago.
Paydays on Friday. Like, I've got to be very frugal with my choices. Up until then, I've got to be very, very frugal with what I choose.
After that,
I'd have...
Footlong Snickers.
Out the wazoo, mate.
The 100-meter Mars bar. Whatever you want.
Or a marathon.
Yeah, a marathon.
We went to go see that, and I enjoyed the first act more than I enjoyed the second act, because there's more fun songs in the first act.
Does it get very humble and heartfelt?
Very heartfelt in the second act.
Earnest.
Very earnest. Lots of like big songs that you can imagine contestants on The X Factor will be singing later on this year. Because they are big numbers. But I very much enjoyed it. My wife absolutely loved it. I am going to be getting the soundtrack for it, because there are some tunes on there that I think are, chef's kiss. I just think they're absolutely spectacular. But I would recommend it. Not cheap, though, is what I would say. Bloody hell. It's getting expensive to go to the theatre.
The theatre is expensive, yeah. Mate. Yeah. Don't go.
I'm going to see
the comedy about a bank robbery next week. Mm-hmm. So. Wednesday, I think, in fact. So I'll be able to talk about it next week on the podcast.
Excellent.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe this is what
I'm farming content. I'm just trying to have a life. Normally, I wouldn't do anything, but it's just because I'm on here. I have to say stuff.
I have to talk about stuff to talk about
say
now.
Things.
We'll have some more of your correspondence in the outro, including a follow-up to what me and Pete were talking about last week in terms of like a D&D style, a D&D version of Tinder is what someone emailed into Pitch. But we'll get into the main bulk of the show now, which we haven't actually recorded yet. Usually we record the intros and outros after recording, but for the first time ever, we're doing them before we've actually recorded the show. So
we're fresh here.
I've no idea how this is going to sound. This could be brilliant or a lot of rambly nonsense. So stick with it. I'm sure it'll be fine. Here's the show. We want to talk about broad strokes, the ladies of NXT. So there was a tag team match between, I'm going to have to try and remember who it was now.
It was Aaliyah and Vanessa Bourne.
Yep, we got Aaliyah.
Versus Lacey Lane and Casey Catanzaro, who were both making their debut.
Catanzaro.
We're getting some people are saying no sound and some people are saying sound.
Some people are saying sound, some people are saying no sound. Have they got their microphones muted?
Are you mutey?
Everyone is now saying there is sound, so I think you're okay, but it was just a few people at the beginning saying no sound.
Okay, so those people probably had their laptops muted and didn't realise.
Tech issues, live on. I think they're just messing with us.
Yeah, exactly. if anything, that might be what I would have done. No sound, mate.
No sound.
No sound, mate.
No picture. Your hat's keying out.
But yes, so it was a tag team match between Lacey Lane and Casey Catanzaro making their Catanz... It's funny, when I say it in my head...
Casey Catamaran.
Catamaran, yeah.
Lacey Lane. Lacey Lane. Vanessa Bourne and a Wild Aaliyah.
And a Wild Aaliyah appeared. They're having this tag match. Not much of a tag match, to be honest. Lacey and Casey were both from the Mae Young Classic, and we saw Casey in the Royal Rumble in January. And the heels worked over Lacey for a little bit, and then all of a sudden, Baszler, Duke, and Shafir run down, cause the DQ, and they had... Baszler and Casey had this amazing little sequence where she tried, Baszler that is, got her into the Kirifuna clutch, and then Casey used the rope to do her like American Ninja Warrior
backflip
out of it, and then, you know, tried to do some more flip-de-doo stuff, and Baszler essentially was like, nope, just grabbed her, was like, not having any of
she
this.
She went
mate.
For a wheelbarrow, and Baszler just sort of went,
gotcha. Having none of this, mate. Just getting you straight into the Kirifuna clutch. And it was a really, really cool moment.
Mm-hmm.
Made Baszler look like an absolute badass. And she's going into TakeOver New York, where she's going to be facing off against Bianca Belair, Kairi Sane, and Io Shirai for the NXT Women's Championship.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one talking point there is to be had around that. It's lovely to see Shafir and Duke back with Baszler in her corner. We haven't seen that for a few weeks.
Well, I think that's going
to
be where they're strongest, right?
Absolutely.
And I think it was cool that this moment also came, like, Baszler gets up on the announce desk afterwards and she goes and gets in Percy Watson's face and she says, like, this is going to keep happening until you start respecting your champion.
Start respecting the champ.
Stop trying to, like, cheat me out of the title by putting me in these four-person matches. Like, I am a respectable champion.
Treat me as such.
It's really good. Like, and I think the brilliance of this four-person match, though, obviously, is that Baszler can lose without losing the mystique to a degree. Because it's like she is essentially against three people who have been a team recently. Mm-hmm. Like, I know Bianca's obviously got issues with Io and Kairi, but Io and Kairi are a team. They're friends. They're going to team up in this. Bianca probably will also fall on their side, being on the more face end of the spectrum. So Baszler is kind of on her own out there.
Yeah. It was really, really cool. I thought Baszler... I'm absolutely in love with Shayna Baszler. I just think she's so, so cool. And I think she just looks like an absolute superstar. And one of the reports that came out last week is that if she loses the belt, there is a chance. No one is saying it is happening for sure. It's just like there has been talk. There is a possibility that Baszler could go up to the main roster.
Yes.
And Duke and Shafir would actually stay down in NXT, where one of the plans, reported plans, were that Duke would become a single star and Shafir would become a new member of the Undisputed Era.
Ooh.
Playing off the fact that she is the real-life wife of Roderick Strong and giving the Undisputed Era their first female member.
Yep.
So then they can have...
She would fit in really well with
them. Fit in really well with that group. And then they've got people that can go across all spectrums of... So you've got Adam Cole in the main event. You've got Roderick Strong in the North American Championship picture. Riley and Fish in the tag picture. Mm-hmm. And Shafir in the Women's Championship picture. So you've got like a... You could theoretically get all the belts.
They could be undisputed.
They could be... Quite literally, undisputed. So that was a report that came out last week. But since that report, on Tuesday, Charlotte Flair won the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Mm.
A decision that was apparently made quite late in the day. It had been talked about in the week prior, but the actual decision was made late in the day, probably around 3-5 o'clock-ish. We're going to put the belt back on Charlotte Flair.
Don't do anything else with it. Why not?
Well, yeah, quite. And then we'll work out what we're going to do after that. So now we've got two of these titles in the picture, in the main event picture. But it's not going to be to unify the belts, nor is it going to be a 2 out of 3 falls match where both titles are on the line.
Right.
One report has said that it could be that if Ronda or Flair gets pinned, they lose their title.
Right. Oh, okay. That's
but like if Ronda pins Becky or if Charlotte pins Becky, then everyone just retains.
Yeah.
And Flair does. If Flair pins Becky, she doesn't
Hang on. If Flair pins Becky, she doesn't lose her title.
Person maths.
But if she beats Ronda, she doesn't win the Raw title either. She just keeps her SmackDown title.
That's too confusing.
That's where this really starts to fall apart.
I thought you would have just, like, it made sense story-wise to a degree to put the belt on Charlotte because you're like, what's she bringing to the table? She brings the belt. But then I guess, like, maybe she doesn't have to put it on the line. Like, I think the SmackDown title on Charlotte kind of makes sense in the sense that you could go, well, if she loses the match by Becky pinning Ronda and becoming the Raw Women's Champion, Charlotte still maintains some of this, like, I am the best women's wrestler in the company kind of thing. Because she's like, I didn't get pinned. And I thought you could go even further with that. And you could do, if she actually had to defend the SmackDown title, even just for 30 seconds earlier in the night, you'd be like, she's already been in a match. Like, blah, blah.
Yeah.
There's all this stuff you could do with it to sort of build it up. But there's also the other angle of, like, maybe they're just lining up all the belts so that at the end of the show, the four horsewomen of NXT can stand in the ring all holding belts aloft.
Exactly, yeah, because there's been an image that's been sort of doing the rounds for the past couple of months, which is the WWE horsewomen of Becky, Flair, Banks and Bayley all holding aloft their title, standing in the ring, almost like an Eddie Benoit moment from WrestleMania 20, where Charlotte's holding aloft the SmackDown Women's Championship and Becky's got the Raw Women's Championship and Banks and Bayley have got the Tag Team Championships and the four horsewomen have all got belts. Which would then kind of set up this, that could set up a Charlotte Flair face turn as she sort of like aligns herself with her buddies once again. But with Ronda now being a heel, Baszler, Duke and Shafir all being heels as well, to bring this foursome up together and then have the Horsewomen versus Horsewomen feud that they've been wanting to do since the Mae Young Classic 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been sort of like sowing the seeds for and trying to set up. So
that all depends on if Ronda's sticking around, I guess.
Exactly, like, yeah. There are a lot of factors in this. A, Ronda sticking around, as you quite said there, because like the reports are, after Mania, she's done. She's going to start a family with Travis Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Is basically going to get called up. Are they going to put Shafir in the Undisputed Era? Are they going to be pushing Duke as a single star? Are Shafir and Duke ready to go up to the main roster? Shayna Baszler, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she could easily, like, fill that Ronda void if she goes. So there's quite a lot of questions around that. But I suppose my question I would pose to you, is it something you would want to see done?
I would love to see it. I think, like, I don't like teasers without the payoff. Excuse me. But, yeah, I would prefer it if it was,
Matron.
This does feel like something that's been brewing. I think Shayna Baszler is a ready-made star on the main roster. Like, she's so different to even Ronda in terms of like her in-ring style and to all the women on the main roster too. I would love to see that sort of faction war between two sets of horsewomen.
Yeah.
The dressage war, as we're going to call it, or whatever. Yeah. Like, you know, I want to see that go down. Like, I really like it. Really feels like something that is really worth your time now, especially now that Becky has become, like, aside from Kofi, the biggest thing in WWE. Like, it is, it just feels like this is the time to sort of get on the zeitgeist of, like, let's really push this to the moon and do this huge war that lasts until SummerSlam or, you know, maybe even to next year's Mania. Like,
well, exactly. And that's the thing. It's a story that you could kind of tell and you can kind of sort of pepper things throughout. Maybe you do sort of the four-on-four at, I'm going to say Backlash. I don't know what the next pay-per-view is after Mania. It's probably Backlash. You could do the four-on-four there, but then if Ronda, like, essentially you just convince Ronda to stay around for another month.
Yes.
And it's not like that's that uncommon within WWE.
No.
Brock was meant to leave last year. He's still the bloody Universal Champion. He was meant to be well gone in UFC. Dana White wants him back there. But Vince has got a way to kind of convince people to stick around. Stick
it's
around for another month.
Money.
Well, yeah, it's quite.
Money.
I've got all that sounding money. Yeah. So he's got a way to kind of convince people to just
bends down, his wallet falls out.
With all of the money. Yeah. The billfold falls out. Oh, sorry. So
excuse me.
Sorry. I'll tell you what, I'll pick that up for you. Oh, I need to fan myself with it. I'm so exhausted from bending down.
It's so heavy.
It's like doing weights, pal. So there is every chance that Vince could convince Ronda to just stick around for another month. Stick around for another month. Set this up. We'll do the 4-on-4. You can ride off into the sunset and try and raise a family or start a family, whatever it is you want to do.
Play Harvest Moon.
Go play Animal Crossing, whatever it is you want to do with your time off. And then we'll just keep this plate spinning with the other members that we've got here up until perhaps WrestleMania next year, and you come back and you do the big 4-on-4 there, the big 4-on-4 rematch. And yeah, maybe that's a way you could do
it. Also, there's plenty of people that if Ronda does go, that those guys can align with to sort of fill that extra spot. Like, I think Sonya Deville would fit pretty well into that sort of, like,
totally.
She can be the fifth horsewoman. Like, you know, that, whatever, that...
She would feel like the fifth Beatle, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's plenty of people that could just stand in. But I also think Baszler has enough kind of menace and star power to carry that whole side on her own.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Ronda and Baszler makes it feel like a really, really dangerous threat.
Yeah.
But Baszler is a legitimate threat on her own to even Charlotte Flairs and the Becky Lynches of the world.
Absolutely, so. I think there's a lot that could be done with this. The question is, are Duke and Shafir ready to go up? We've heard live reports that Jessamyn Duke is very good and Marina Shafir is very much getting there. But it's... I've not seen that evident yet on NXT TV.
Yeah, they've been in some weird matches though,
and they keep losing.
It's partly a case of bad booking, surely on that front as well. Like, it was just, I think NXT doesn't have quite enough room in the amount of programming that it actually does to be like, we can build more than about 4 stars at a time.
Yeah.
And they are doing 4 for this one match at TakeOver. So like, Duke and Shafir were sort of like, this is too much. Like, they had to dig Aaliyah out of the closet to do stuff, you know? Like, they were
dust
like,
her off.
Oh my God, yeah. Get out there. Shake off the rust.
It's going to be very interesting after TakeOver. Mm-hmm. If Baszler drops the belt.
Yes.
Like, if Sane, Shirai, or Belair pick up the belt, which I'm kind of expecting one of them to do. Yeah. I don't know who it's going to be. I haven't, like, fully worked out my predictions for that show yet.
I'm leaning towards Shirai.
Oh, yeah?
But maybe Belair. I don't know.
I don't really know where it's going at the
Not
moment.
Not Kyrie.
But if Baszler does drop the belt, there is going to be speculation running rampant on Saturday into Sunday, because it always is. Like, you know when, like, someone drops the belt and at the TakeOver before Mania, everyone's like, are they going to show up at WrestleMania?
Oh, yeah.
Or are they going to show up on the Raw or SmackDown after WrestleMania? So if Baszler does drop the belt on the Friday before WrestleMania, there is going to be some rampant speculation.
But if she does drop the belt, it feels like...
Which,
that,
by the way, I'm really looking forward to, because I bloody love me some rampant speculation and fantasy booking.
But like, I think that's the thing. If she does drop the belt, it feels like it's time for her to go now. Like, she's lost it once before and won it back. But like, I think being the 2-time champ is enough. You don't need to be the 3-time champ. And I just think you lose all the sort of... There's nothing for her to do anymore. It's like Aleister Black still being in NXT. It just feels like Aleister Black is kind of done. He's going to get this last showcase match against War Raiders, and then I feel like, off you pop, mate.
Off into the sunset you ride. Off into the bright lights of Raw and SmackDown, I guess.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than 1 billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story.
In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Andy Datson, do we have some questions?
Yeah, we do. They're not any kind of super chat ones, no donations yet, but we've got some questions.
Don't beg for them.
I'm not begging, I just want them. Could NXT New York be the best card ever for an NXT takeover?
So we've got the four women, the four corners tag, women's match, yep. The tag match, as you just said then, with Black mm-hmm. and Ricochet and War Raiders.
Gargano versus Cole.
Gargano, Cole, Riddle, Dream, and Walter Pete Dunne.
Yeah.
So.
Could we, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels
in a long litany of all. What are you doing?
The microphone. Andy's microphone just fell into him.
All good. I'm propping it up for a second. I'll sort it out.
Okay.
Cool.
I did say be careful with it.
Don't work because with children, animals, or Datsuns.
You know, in Andy's defense, it is precariously balanced.
No, it's not. It's fine. He just doesn't know what he's doing.
I find, though, that almost every takeover seems like this has the ability to be, or the chance to be, the best takeover ever.
But it's one of those things. It's like, yeah, we can go, oh, okay, that card's amazing. But you get surprises at takeover. Like, nobody thought that Lorcan and Birch would be as an amazing match that it was. Like, that was probably one of the best matches on TakeOver that I think I've seen. I was so excited for that match when it actually kicked off. But before that, I was kind of like, yeah, it was just a thing, innit? But, like, there is just potential for these matches to get out of control, get out of hand, and go in a way you weren't ever expecting. So you can look at the card, but your feelings about the card are subject to change.
Indeed it is. Datsun, can we have another question, please?
Yes, you can. We've got, where can I buy Luke's shirt?
This T-shirt here. I think I got this on Redbubble. It seems like a very much a Redbubble thing. It's a Tales in Time Godzilla crossover. Because I'm cool.
Yeah, wicked sweet.
Datsun.
And if the whole of the four horsewomen go up to the main roster, who do you think should run the NXT women's division in their stead?
Ooh. Sky Pirates and Belair and they're sort of their top crop of women stars. Very much of the Sky Pirates and Belair. Maybe they're going to start doing something with Aaliyah now that they've dusted her off and Vanessa Bourne.
I think a heel Belair would be a very good champion, like a full heel turned Belair. And with Casey Cantor, what's her face, chasing.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, Casey Cantor.
She is. I can't imagine a heel version of Casey Cantaloupe. like, I can't picture it. Casey Catamaran. What is her name?
Casey Catanzaro.
Catanzaro. That was, if anyone needed a...
She's losing that name. When she goes up to the main roster.
She should be our Lee.
When she goes up to the main roster, she is losing that name. So I could definitely see... They clearly love Casey Catanzaro. Mm-hmm. So I can definitely see them doing something.
Not enough
to
give her a good debut.
Well, yeah, quite. But, you know, not everyone gets a good debut. Anyway, do you want another question?
Yeah, we've got one more. This is from Dysentery Joe, which is a lovely name. It's if WrestleMania ends with the four horsewomen all holding the titles, can we get a fantasy booking warfare of the horsewomen versus horsewomen feud?
We've done that one, haven't we?
We kind of did that, didn't we?
With the and that, that
I think the direction it ended up going in was that we did Becky versus Ronda
at WrestleMania,
and both of us kind of did horsewomen in the end. Yeah,
I think you kind of have to, because mine was sort of built around horsewomen. Yours was it was there to set up horsewomen versus horsewomen stuff. I mean, to be honest, horsewomen versus horsewomen gets nominated a lot in the Patreon poll. It just never wins.
Yeah.
Fantasy Booking Warfare will be returning. It's just we've been a bit busy. Yeah.
If you wanted to win, be a Patreon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Vote for it.
Yep. Suggest it. And I mean,
it's hard. There's 8 people to book for. That's hard.
And I also think it's going to be one of those topics that gets nominated every single month and then doesn't really come to fruition. But let's crack on into the rest of this show, starting off with Adam Cole opening the show to remind everyone that he's going to be facing Johnny Gargano at NXT TakeOver New York for the vacant NXT championship.
And he says he can list millions of reasons why he deserves to be the champion, why he'll be walking out of New York as the champion over Gargano.
Mm-hmm.
Can I guess he's just really good.
He's just very good. He's just going to super kick one.
You don't need a million reasons. No, absolutely. Just, I'm going to win is one.
I'm Adam Cole.
Two
baby.
Reasons is Boom. Fine. Yeah, but then I guess that prompts little Johnny to come out. Jonathan.
Yeah, little Johnny Gargano comes up, and it was like there was a huge dueling chant.
This was wicked. Yeah.
This was really cool, but it did remind me a little bit of we did it as one of our Ramble Club matches, which was Bobby Guns versus Ilya Dragunov. Mm. Was it? Yes. And it was there was a dueling chant of Guns, Bobby Guns, Ilya, Guns, Bobby Guns, Ilya. And that sounds grand, but it's a half-hour match, and 25 minutes of that match was that chant. And after a while, I was like, you lot, you need to shut up now.
Yeah. Let them talk. It prompted Cole to just be like, oh, my God, I don't need you. Like, yeah. I don't need you.
Yeah, Adam Cole is just like, by the way, I don't need you chanting for me. Yeah. Like, I've never needed you chanting for me. But and then Johnny Taylor's like, I actually quite like it. Yeah. But I think he was trying to get them to just baby chant for Takeover, or like Johnny Takeover, but they started chanting for Adam Cole again. But it was, you know, it went on for a long, long time, but it was very, very cool. And Gargano says that for the first time in NXT history, Adam Cole is lost for words, and he's going to show him why they call him Johnny Takeover, baby. Good sort of promo stuff here, particularly from Gargano, because he started to bring up that Adam Cole was brought in at a Takeover event. He debuted in the main event of it. I think it was the main event. It was
post-main event angle.
Yeah, it was a post-main event angle, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was when Drew won the title?
Question mark?
I think it was when Drew won the title.
Someone will tell us in the chat in a minute if we were wrong, which we likely are, because that's what we do.
He won the title, and then he had one defense at Takeover, and he lost.
No, he had two.
Okay, maybe there was one where he, maybe it was second.
Maybe I'm wrong. Oh, who knows?
Feels like a long time ago.
Yeah, it really does. It was a long old time ago. 2 years. It was talking about how he had the red carpet rolled out for him, but Johnny Gargano didn't have such a journey. He and Ciampa were thrown together as a makeshift tag team.
We got
Dusty Classic.
First of all, he says. He
No, then they got thrown together as this sort of makeshift tag team for the Dusty Classic. And from there, they sort of changed the world as DIY. And he eventually got brought back again and again and again. And he had to prove himself over and over again to get to this spot. Mm-hmm. Great, great fire from Johnny Gargano. Really good promo.
It was a super cool promo. And to the point where Cole just went, okay. Yeah, just left. Exactly. You've got to come back for that.
And then he was like, no, I've got one now. I've thought of something to say.
Hey, I got it.
I've got something to say now. And he's like, you can scratch and claw, but when you leave New York, I'll be NXT champion. And here's why. And Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and Roddy Strong all walked in. They all do their super cool bow.
You're doing it the wrong way round.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
Am I?
Yeah.
that's
that
I
way.
Did the same thing again.
it's that way. There we go.
I'm so cool. Datsun, you had your hand up. Have we got a question come in?
We do have a question come in from Mountain Matt Dennis.
Good name, mate.
Aleister Black be a face or a heel on the main roster?
I don't think he needs to be either. I think he could perfectly sit in the middle ground of just...
Between light and shadow.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. The Twilight Realm. I think he could just be this thing that just comes out and just wins matches. And it doesn't have to be playing to the crowd, but it doesn't also have to be like, I'm trying to make you hate me. Just like he was when he started in NXT. Like, he was technically a face because he was honourable about the way he went about business. But he was just... I turn up and I wreck house and I leave.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be the champion. And I didn't feel like he was pandering, or like he does babyface e moves, but I don't think he's particularly pandering to anyone. So I think he'd just be a legitimate threat and just be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, he has great babyface fire. But to be honest, I'd just like to see him have a storyline. Like, I would like to see him have something to do other than being stuck on the tag team treadmill, as Ollie Davis brilliantly put it. Sorry,
sticking with Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, one more question from Tyrone Keith Peltzer, and I don't understand the question at all, but I'll read it anyway. Will WWE Black hashtag Black Excellence have a sequel photo after WrestleMania? Brackets Wrestle Ramble prediction.
One more time.
Will hashtag WWE, hashtag Black Excellence, have a sequel photo after WrestleMania, brackets, Wrestle Ramble prediction. I don't understand
photo.
Either.
Yeah, okay, Black Excellence photo. I mean, good if you'd actually done this research for us, Datsun, while you were...
It only just came in.
Okay. So yeah, it's something. I'm assuming it's in relation to the Kofi Kingston thing. I think I don't know, to be honest. This is very new to me, so I'm very sorry we can't answer your question there. Send us a bit more detail.
You're right in now. Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk it out. Anyway, right. Let's get back into the main show itself. Billie Eilish is doing one of the themes for NXT TakeOver New York. I still think it's one of the most dour themes I've ever heard for a wrestling show.
The one
show.
With the crown.
Yeah, the crown made of spiders.
Mm.
Good song, mate. Just not for a wrestling show.
Yeah.
Then we got the Vanessa Bourne and Aaliyah versus Lacey Lane and Casey Catamaran match. Sorry, Datsun, you had your hand up.
Amazingly, someone called Nico the Arms Dealer has just donated $100.
Whoa!
And someone,
I hope it's not from selling arms.
No, and we've got another quick question. What do you think of Velveteen Dream versus Kyle O'Reilly? That is from Supreme, who has also donated.
Thanks, Supreme.
Thanks, Supreme. Thank you so much for anyone who donates. It's very, very generous. You don't really need to just watch along. It's fun. I could be down for that match. I mean, to be honest, I'm down for any match that's got Kyle O'Reilly in it.
I love Kyle O'Reilly.
Absolutely.
So much.
Yeah.
I think he played really well off Dream, though. I think they're both very good. Physicality wise, of like their selling is so over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think it would be high drama, is what I would call it.
O'Reilly's selling of Dream punches would be absolutely wonderful. Then we saw Black and Ricochet warming up backstage because they were in the main event for the finals of the Dusty Classic.
Not bothered that his girlfriend just got choked. Ricochet.
Apparently
just saying
not.
He's not a good lover. That's all I'm saying.
And then we got a match between, speaking of the Dream, Matt Riddle versus Tesco's finest, Kona Reeves. Mm-hmm. They found Kona Reeves again. Yeah. Like, they found him with Aaliyah.
I think he washed up. He got lost surfing and he just washed up like Harold in Neighbours.
I just figured like when they were going through the store cupboards looking for Aaliyah, they found, Kona Reeves. We were pushing him at one point.
We'll dust him off.
Dust him off and get him out.
Take him down the dry cleaners. He's
moved.
He's moved his thing now. He doesn't go finest. He goes like finest. It's they've toned it. They were like, take it down a notch.
Yeah, he's less enthused into this now.
Bring it down.
And they had a match which was fine. Not really much to it. Riddle won, obviously. Riddle looked great in this. His palm strikes are wicked. I love his ripcord knee. But the big thing from this match is that partway through it, Matt Riddle got distracted because Velveteen Dream was pushed out on a sofa flanked by ladies. Mm-hmm. And he just sat there and he had like a big like martini glass or something.
From a goblet, wasn't it?
It's even better. And he had the title just sort of like sprawled out next to him. It looked ridiculous.
Yep.
But for all the right reasons.
It was the thing that needed to happen. You didn't know it needed to happen, but it did.
It did. It absolutely needed to happen.
I hope he's carried out like an Egyptian prince.
Like Prince Ali.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make way for Velveteen Dream.
Oh God, I want that to happen. And then Verito just to make his bro and just make a regular normal
and come out on an ostrich.
That's been left over. And you'd have thought if this was the main roster, that would have led to a distraction finish. But no, Riddle is being groomed for a championship thing. Mm-hmm. So he beat, I forgot his name now, Kona Reeves.
Kona Reeves.
With the Bro Mission.
Yeah, after a few.
Raining down at those elbows.
Stop moving.
And then, locked him in. And they announced before this match that it's going to be Dream versus Riddle at NXT TakeOver New York for the North American Championship. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, Riddle says, I'll see you at New York. But I liked when they were actually going to announce the winner, Dream. So I was like, no, I will stop you there. And he announced the winner himself. Good little gimmick.
That was cool. And then Riddle walks up the ramp.
Yep.
He hands him a mic and he goes, I'll see you at TakeOver, bro, and takes the thing, spills a lot of it. And then
very clumsily
chucks it away.
Yeah.
That's well, the worst thing you can do around the dream is have bad manners.
And I've bought Matt Riddle drinks before, and I know he takes care of them. Yeah. So I think that he was doing that on purpose.
Yeah, he was trying to say something.
He was trying to say something, yeah. Next week, it's going to be Kairi Sane versus Bianca Belair to get us ready for the following Friday's show. The Keith Lee versus Donovic Dijakovic rematch.
Is that next week?
I thought it was meant to be this way. I thought it was 2 weeks away, and that was 2 weeks ago. So, but I don't know.
Do you think they've taken it out of the edit because Keith Lee got injured?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Or I'm wrong, and it is meant to be next week. Mm. Again, please let us know in the chat, because I can't quite remember the timeline of things. I'm pretty sure they filmed something, though. But yeah, as you say, then it was meant to then set up the TakeOver New York
they
match.
Had filmed something.
But it's, with Keith Lee out injured. Get well soon, Keith. Kind of sucks, man.
Yeah. But I mean, it might just mean that there's more build into it later on. Because it's definitely something that people were crazy hot for. So I don't think people are going to forget anytime soon that happened and it was amazing. So
I mean, it's the same lot of lads and lasses that go to see these NXT takeovers.
Like, oh,
I remember this. And our main event was the finals of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. It was Aleister Black and Ricochet versus the Forgotten Sons with Jackson Ryker.
I like this.
I like this as well. I really did. I didn't want to sound like I was coming down on this, but I actually really enjoyed this. I thought it was really cool by the end. I loved how the action started right away and they all just got into this big old brawl. And then it sort of broke down into the heels working over Ricochet. And there were just some really, really, really cool moments in this. Black hit a huge springboard meteora.
Yeah.
Like, he nearly took the lighting rig out. Like, he jumped up in the air, took everything down with him, and then crashed his knees down. Looked brilliant.
That was amazing, yeah.
Yeah, really, really cool. And I also like how Ricochet and Wesley Blake did a yay boo spot, but with a suplex.
Yeah, that was really fun. That was super fun. I think this was the best showing the Forgotten Sons have had.
Yeah.
Easily.
Like,
but also, it felt like... For the first, like, I also felt like Jackson Ryker actually finally got involved in something. Like, still to a degree, not as much as maybe he should have. Like, just get in the way a bit more, dude. Yeah. Like, you know, but there was a couple of interferences here that actually just made sense and were like, okay, yeah, he's actually looking out for his team. But there was one where the match was basically won and Ricochet just been dumped. I think Ricochet had been dumped into the steps and Black is getting pinned in the ring and Ricochet rolls back in and Ryker stood right next to him and just lets him go. So it's like, just stop him, mate. I don't know. Like, if you're already up for cheating, just cheat.
Just start cheating,
like,
lads.
Do it.
And he did get involved in some sort of form of cheating, though, because Black got his foot up on the rope after a, if I get this right, a powerbomb code breaker, which looked absolutely awesome. And Black had his foot on the ropes, but Jackson Ryker pushed it off. He then got ejected. And again, it's kind of one of these things. Jackson Ryker doesn't seem like the character to me that would do the, I can't believe I've been ejected. Now I'm just going to leave.
Yeah.
No, he's like a scary, stone-cold, dead eyes looking at you, not being like, oh, I better obey what the referee has said now.
Yeah, they should just say, I'm a good boy, really. Like,
I better obey those
rules.
That's
what he's thinking when he's just dead staring. He's just going, I'm a good boy. I'm a good boy on the inside.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, he should have just stood there and just gone, make me.
Yeah, exactly, Datsun, did you want to tear that piece of paper off any louder there, mate?
Yes. I'll do it again. Sorry.
Come on now.
Can't get help these days.
But this was really cool. Jackson got arrested. Black Mass by Aleister Black in the 6:30. And they celebrated this trophy win like it was the main event of WrestleMania.
It was amazing.
Oh,
man,
it was brilliant. Confetti fell from the ceiling.
Ricochet was rolling in it to gather
it
up.
Wonderful. Like, they looked genuinely thrilled to win this. And we said this when this tournament started like 3 weeks ago, that the Dusty Classic really feels like it's probably the most prestigious tournament in WWE.
Yes.
Like, I think it's more prestigious than the Mae Young Classic. I think it's clearly more prestigious than the Cruiserweight Classic, because they only did one of them. And I think it feels more prestigious than most King of the Rings in its later iterations, when it was just like, we need to give someone a king gimmick. I really feel like this
is this crown waiting
we've got,
for you.
Well, we found it in the closet with Aaliyah. So I think this...
She's just handing stuff out.
Here you go. So I really do feel that this was a big, big moment. And it felt like a big moment.
Mm.
So I loved the finish. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, and then the War Raiders come out.
Yep.
And they have a little stare down.
And it was suddenly when you think... It was at that moment I suddenly realized, Oh man, we're getting Aleister Black and Ricochet versus the War Raiders.
Oh yeah,
at take. And I think it's pretty obvious that Black and Ricochet aren't winning because they're on the main roster now.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't particularly care.
No, I just want to see what crazy stuff.
Oh, mate. Well,
considering that War Raiders' main thing is that they just throw people around.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anyone better to throw around than Ricochet, because he'll just go and then come back in.
Absolutely. Although, on that topic, one of my favorite person in this whole match was Wesley Blake.
Mm.
Because Wesley Blake's ragdoll selling is like, he's been watching his Kyle O'Reilly tapes and was just like, oh, I'm going to emulate what this lad does. Because his ragdoll selling is wonderful.
I think this match did a very good job of, once Ricochet and Black are actually gone from NXT, the Forgotten Sons now feel like a thing, yeah. Like a cohesive unit.
Really, yeah, yeah.
And actually feel like people are going to care about them. There's going to be, hopefully, going to be no more "we forgot you" chants, because they now seem, if they just nail what Jackson Ryker's involvement is, they'll kind of be a perfect unit.
I agree with you on that one, yeah. I think this did a great job of pushing them. Mm. And we kind of said at the start of this, like, I'm surprised they made it this far through because there were bigger teams in there. But actually, hindsight being 2020, as an exercise to get the Forgotten Sons onto the same level as the Street Profits, as Larkin and Burch, as this, that, and the other, it completely worked.
Yeah.
Like, because they now do feel like they could be going for the tag titles
yeah.
anytime soon, the same way that the Street Profits feel like they could go for the tag mm-hmm. titles anytime soon.
Well, thank God this match was great, though. I think because otherwise we would have just gone, not again. But yeah.
yeah. So, thumbs up all round. Mm-hmm. Overall, I thought it was a fine show.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say anyone really needs to go out of their way to watch it.
I'd watch the tag match.
Yeah.
And I would watch clips of the intro, like with Cole and Gargano. Probably just watch the cutdown on YouTube.
And the clips of Baszler,
yeah.
I'd say, yeah. Yeah. So, but, you know, I thought it was a perfectly fine show.
It did good build.
It did a good build, and I'm still very much looking forward to NXT TakeOver New York mm-hmm. with Walter Pete Dunne. Oh, chef's kiss. Chef's kiss.
Molto bueno. Chef's kiss.
Andy Datson, look alive. Questions.
Hello. Yeah, we've got loads of questions that have suddenly ramped in, so we can rush through them. But we've got, what are your most anticipated TakeOver and Mania matches? That's from Stu Morrison.
Most anticipated TakeOver matches, Walter Pete Dunne.
Yeah, I think so too.
Absolutely.
I'm still really up for Cole Gargano, because I just want to see what direction they've picked for the future of NXT. Like, I'm really excited for that.
Yeah.
Mania, I think the women's match is probably my most exciting, and Kofi Bryan.
Yeah.
I think everything else I'm sort of not that bothered about.
That's it, yeah. I think for the triple threat, I've been very down on the booking and the lead up to it, but I still think it'll be a great match at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it'll be like, funny enough, I was talking to Pete about this. No, not Pete, sorry. I was talking about one of our editors about this earlier on today. That the last time I feel like people were this down on a WrestleMania build was Mania 31, when you had like the Roman Brock pull apart with the title and it was just really awful. And that ended up being a wicked WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Mania 31 was a brilliant, brilliant show.
I think the big takeaway from this is that actually, because the match has been so built, it's a lot of storyline, which means that everyone is quite fresh. Like, no one's been wrestling that much. So actually, they're going to go in this probably having practiced this match to death.
Yeah, to the nines, yeah.
And yeah, it's going to be exceptional. And like, I can't wait to see what the post-match angle is, because there's going to be one.
There's going to be one. Andy Datson, what we got next?
We've got one from John Inahuatso, who says, what are your tips to survive the 8 hours of WrestleMania? He's given us $49.99. I don't know if that's American or if that's US or Australian, but either way, it's very, very nice of
him. Super, super generous. Thank you so, so much. What tips do we have?
Well, I don't have it. I fell asleep in the last one. I don't have any tips.
Yeah,
I'm
when
sorry.
You and I watched this last year, you did fall asleep.
Yeah, I had got back from America that week. Oh no, yeah. So I think I went to America. Yeah, no, it was, I'd been to E3 and I came back, and then it was like, oh no, not E3. I'd been in America.
You'd been somewhere.
Yeah, I just came back and I was like, I'm done. Like,
yeah. I managed to stay awake for the whole thing. I felt a bit sleepy towards the end, particularly during that Roman Brock match.
Oh yeah.
But my tip was, I just went to work. I finished.
because you and Simon said, do you want to sleep on the sofa? And I was like, I'm just going to go to work. So I packed up my stuff and I got the train to Dagenham.
I don't think that's a tip for staying awake. I just,
yeah, think about work.
I think start changing your lifestyle now. Become nocturnal now.
Yeah, because there's a lot of stuff to stay up for as well.
Yeah, if you're in the UK, that is.
Yeah. You know, Datton.
Yeah, quite a few more. Let's get through them. Jordan Davison says, what if Baszler loses? Will she then interfere in Ronda's match at Mania?
Always possible,
definitely
mate.
Definitely possible.
Definitely possible. As, again, it's kind of what we said at the top of the show. It all depends on if Ronda's sticking around.
Yeah. I mean, she could just interfere anyway just to establish herself as the sort of the one to watch. Like,
yeah. She
doesn't even have to interfere in a way that involves helping Ronda. Yeah. Like, she can interfere in a way that involves beating all three of them down. Like,
yeah.
And everyone thinks she's hit there to help Ronda. So she also beats Ronda down, writing her out.
That's it. I was actually about to say, but then I was going to stop myself because I'd rather just see Becky win it on her own.
Oh,
but like, she, like, Shayna could come down, cost Ronda the match, and that then sets up a Ronda Baszler match for when she comes back after baby time.
Baby time.
Yeah, we've got one from Marcos II. What will make Mania more boring? The amount of time it's going to take to finish the show or the poor booking?
The time.
It's too long.
I mean, they're sort of a combination of the two.
Yeah.
Like, but the time, 8 hours is a long time to watch anything.
With no breaks as well. Yeah. Like, there's no like designated,
there's no let up.
Here's half an hour that you can just take
there's
off.
There's no intermission.
Like, yeah, it's far too long.
It's too
long. It's too long for, like, to, one, be interested in the thing, but also to have the same level of emotion at the end as you went in with. Like, if the ending is emotional, I might cry just from fatigue. Thank God it's over.
I mean, you may see us watch it live. Maybe that's the tip, actually, is to do the watch-along. Watch along with us.
Do it live and lose our minds. Sitting here for 8 hours.
It really depends. Ollie's got the final call on it, and he is rubbish. If he stays up to watch a pay-per-view, it takes him 2 to 3 days to recover, and he just becomes very grumpy.
He's a very grumpy man.
So it's all on him, I guess.
Yeah. Or do what I'm doing, just go to a club and watch it there, because then you probably can't fall asleep. So that's all good.
Because they kick you out.
Yeah. I mean, that's not true. I've fallen asleep in clubs before.
Oh, fair enough.
Luke, House of Hardcore.
From INTC5252, what swerve would you like to see coming out of either weekend WWE show?
What swerve?
Yeah.
Interesting question. What swerve would I like to see? Ronda retain.
Like
at the end of the show, if Ronda retains.
That
and that's it's like, you know, like Brock retaining last year.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would be one of those things where people go like, I did not see that coming. Ooh. Yeah. So Ronda winning is where I'm going.
I feel like this will be a euphoric finish to I don't know, what else is there?
Brian retaining.
Yeah, that would be.
Awkward,
I wouldn't like
wouldn't
to
it?
See that though. No, I don't.
That'd be mad awkward.
I would not like to see all the fans rush the ring and tear it down to be like, it's over now.
It's over now.
WrestleMania's finished. Sorry.
Yeah.
None for you.
We've got three more questions.
Three more questions. One long one, two short ones. From Anthony B. Will Bray Wyatt make his return at WrestleMania? Maybe as Elias's performance interruption. Wouldn't that be great?
I mean, that's actually not a bad shout, being the Elias interruption, or he goes into the Battle Royal.
Oh.
Like, as a surprise entrant into the Battle Royal.
And he could be one of the first people to do something with that, maybe?
Well, actually, no, you don't want to do that, because that's all being built around the SNL lads and Braun, so it doesn't really matter who else is in
there. I feel like it's a death knell for whoever wins it anyway.
Yeah.
It's not like it's...
Oh, it doesn't mean anything. For me, I would say I would wait until the Raw after Mania.
Yeah. Yeah, I think...
do your big return then.
Yeah, I just think there's too much going on at Mania as well. Like, I don't think... You just get lost
in
the shuffle.
Absolutely.
And there's so much things... There's so many things that people... Like, Mania is one of the few times a year that things build for more than a month. So, like, we're getting lots of payoff here. People are excited to see a lot of things. Chucking a random dude in there doesn't really help things.
Randy.
I wasn't going to ask this, but now it's come in because it's such a good question. How do you... think you would react if the New Day turned heel on the Kofi Kingston at WrestleMania?
Well, so they do all this build and then Woods and Big E just getting in and start beating down Kofi. That would be a swerve. Like, that would be what Vince Russo levels up. They'll never see it coming, bro.
I know.
No, not for me.
I'd leave. Whatever. If we were doing a lot, I'd leave.
Yeah, and struggle to get home because the night tube's not on.
Yeah, exactly. Be like, I'm done with this.
Datsun, last question.
Yeah, so there's a joint question. Sorry to anyone who I've missed out, but we're running out of time. Where is Nikki Bella's mask gone? And also, what are your favourite NXT entrance themes?
Oh, I love an entrance theme question. Nikki's mask, well, the I believe it's there.
It's here.
I took it off earlier. Someone mentioned yesterday that it was really distracting, so I thought I would take it off. But then other people will probably say that Nikki's too distracting.
Wait.
So favourite NXT themes, obviously Tesco Finest, great theme.
Yeah, that is a great theme.
Forgotten Sons, which is just a collection
do
of
do unto others. Keith
Lee's new theme is great.
Keith Lee's new theme is great.
Matt Riddle's Get Stuck in My Head.
Yeah, I really like Baszler's.
I mean,
Baszler's is my favorite.
That's my fave.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's my favorite.
I mean, Ciampa's and Gargano's are also right
no
up there.
No one will survive. Oh, we've got one more question.
Yeah, sorry. It's just a very generous $50 donation, so I didn't think I could miss this one out.
Thank you so much.
Big Loki 10 says, what would happen if there, spelled wrong, would be a last-minute change that... Both
don't be pedantic.
For both women's titles to be put on the line, since it looked like Ronda doesn't want to drop the title on a loss, and a big fan of Laurie Blake.
Oh, I mean, who isn't? Sorry, can you just talk to Debbie a little bit?
I'll kind of paraphrase on that one. Basically, how would you feel if they suddenly decided both titles on the line, so whoever wins is the kind of unified champion?
I mean, they've done everything else in this feud. There's been arrests and suspensions. Why not do a dual title match?
I think dual titles is fine. I just don't think it should unify the belts.
No.
I think you win both. You appear on both shows. You drop one.
Eventually, yeah.
By the next pay-per-view and you keep the one that you decide is the nicest.
Yeah, kind of like Rob Van Dam when he won the WWE Championship and they also crowned him the ECW Champion and he would defend the ECW Championship. Yeah, I think it could be done.
I think there's definitely potential. Like it makes sense to do it if you want them to appear on both shows. It also makes sense to unify the belts in that regard and just have a women's championship because then it can float because it's like the Raw Championship and the SmackDown Championship can't appear on the opposite show, really.
I think if they were to do the unifying of the belts, I would then like to see them just unify all the other belts and just have... And this is what I wanted from the brand split to start off with. I think the brand split is much better when you have champions that float across both shows.
Yeah, it makes... I just think it makes sense.
It just makes sense.
Don't want to oversell it.
We got an email in last week from someone who was saying that they were looking to get into D&D, him and a friend, but they don't have like a large enough group to start a campaign and they don't know any groups around that they could join or this and the other. And so they thought what would be a great tool would be Tinder, but for D&D. So you would just like set your parameters of how far you want to travel, you know, and then sort of swipe right and swipe left of if you want to join groups or anything like that. Stephen has emailed in to say Luke, Ollie, Laurie, Chopper were supposedly... to say it like it's 40k orcs, right? But not Randy. How are you doing? A member of the Swaff Nation sent an email about creating a Tinder for D&D parties. Such an app does exist. It's called Meetup. It's not exclusively for role-playing games. I have successfully used it to make many new friends and join several campaigns. Thank you for the consistent content, Steve from the Bronx.
Yeah, there you go.
So I did think about Meetup when that email came in last week, but I wasn't sure if it's ever been used for D&D, because I've only ever used it for like movie groups or a board game tabletop stuff like that. But yeah, I didn't think you could probably... There probably is like D&D based groups on there that are looking for new members for their campaign.
Dude, it's just mind over matter. Like, it's just, if you wanted to make Tinder work for you, you could just put in your profile looking for a D&D group, keep swiping, and then see what happens.
Yeah.
Or all women that you've been on dates with, all in your campaign. You're the dungeon master.
And you
write yourself in as an NPC.
And you've now got
to make the magic happen.
And you've got to pit them all against each other for the second date.
And you can slowly kill them off in the campaign and they don't have to return. That's it.
Oh, well, this is now what it is, really. Now
Judith, you've peed me off this week, so I've killed you.
We've now changed this. It's now no longer a D&D-based app. It's now a D&D-based dating show.
Yes.
In which we get a dungeon master with various people within a campaign who are like vying, like he's the bachelor or the bachelorette, you could do it that way around. And then they will do a campaign and then slowly decide to kill off characters as they eliminate people per round until one is left standing and they will then go on a date.
I think it would work.
I think it could work, mate. It's a bit long form, but I'm sure. Yeah. But, you know, Screen Stalker's looking for content, so we'll pitch it to them. We know the people in the higher-ups. I've got an email about bowling breakups, but I'll save that for Ollie Davis, I think. Let's have this Wrestle Talk get better. It says, every time I say it now, I just instantly go to say Luke, Ollie, and Laurie, even when people don't write that in their emails. So it says, Dear Luke, Ollie, Johnny Fakeover, Chopper, and the Dastardly Datsun. My name is Richie, and I'm an 18-year-old kid from South Carolina. I've been putting off getting in shape for a while now, but as part of being a junior ambassador, I have to run a 5K for Relay for Life on May 3rd. Now, for a normal guy, this might not be a huge deal, but being out of shape at 21 and a half stone, I'm going to need all the help I can get. Thank you for all the consistent content and for helping to motivate me at least try and get in shape for the 5K. Lots of love, Richie. P.S. In case you have any questions as to what a junior ambassador is, we're a volunteer group through my high school where we raise money for groups like Make-A-Wish and Pink Out. As well, here's a picture of me currently raising money for a three-year-old girl who needs a liver transplant to go to Disney World. And there is our chap there doing his stuff for Make-A-Wish.
Oh, that's good.
What a nice guy. Excellent work, my friend. And good luck in doing the 5K. I really struggled at doing it first as well. So feel your pain, mate. Just keep going at it. Eventually, you'll get there.
Yeah, and then guess pitch something else next time. How do we raise money next time? Something else?
Something less taxing.
A sit-in?
Yeah. Ooh, a sit-down movie marathon.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, where we can eat loads of popcorn. That'd be great. Right, let's also have, we've got a couple of other get-betters. This one comes in from Tyson. It says, Hello, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, and of course, oh, who am I kidding? It's not Randall Keith Datsun. My name is Tyson, or known as the Wrestle League as the phenomenal Tyson Styles. And yes, my last name is Styles. You may remember my last at Wrestle Talk Get Better when I said that I was currently working on losing weight. At the time of my first emailed, I weighed 110 kilograms. I'm happy to announce that just a few days ago, I did it. For the first time in probably 6 years, I would have been about 15, I weigh under 100 kilograms. 99.9 to be exact. I couldn't be happier with myself. I've been dieting like crazy, exercise every day. I went to the gym and I made myself shed every day for 3 weeks without missing a beat. My friends and family have supported me so much. It's been so overwhelming. I look completely different person. I hope that someone out there takes some inspiration, even if it's just one person, that will make me over the moon. My end goal is 85 kg, then add some muscle mass. I hope to keep you updated. Attached along is a comparison of my weight loss. Yes, Ollie, I've got a t-shirt on. I remember you saying we don't want topless photos or anything like that. Haha. Keep up the consistent content in your podcast. Keep me up to date with everything while I was away on a cruise in Vanuatu. Where's that?
Vanuatu.
Okay.
That's a Google.
That is a Google. That is a Google right there.
My knowledge of geography.
It's in the South Pacific Ocean.
There you go.
I wouldn't know how to say
Sounds
it, though.
Sounds like an island.
Yeah. I don't know how to say it. I'm afraid I've lost your
Has it got commas in it?
Or like accents like that. Absolutely not. So thank you. Thank you for taking the time to read this. Much love from the land down under, the phenomenal Tyson Styles. P.S. I wanted this to be kept secret and no one knows. Maybe I won't read that bit out then if you don't want it to be a secret. So he just says thank you. But yeah, here is a photo that he sent for comparison. That's Tyson on the left as he once was and how he is now.
Good job, bud.
Absolutely.
Looking what up, mate?
Fantastic. So well done to you, sir. Let's have some 80% facts before we get out of here. This one comes in from Joshua. You were talking in the SmackDown review about the Swedish chef, and I remembered an 80% fact I was once told. In Sweden, the Swedish chef is actually known as the Norwegian chef, and led to some confusion if a Norwegian person ever used the Swedish chef to mock someone from Sweden.
Creating a feedback loop in which they were both mocking each other using the Swedish chef and no one knew what to do.
You're so silly. Yeah. Here's another 80% fact for you. There is no type of spoon that starts with the letter N.
You never reached H. This is back in the day when we used to read out our spoon of the day. So now you have a reason to revisit that segment. Also, the fact about kangaroos and emus not being able to walk backwards and so being on the coat of arms for Australia, never move backwards, is 100% true. Keep up the consistent quality and inconsistent rambly segments, Josh. So yeah, apparently, Swedish chef, Norwegian chef, it's all the same, mates. Potato, potato. This one comes in from James. Fact time, my friends. I had a teacher, brackets, who was not a science teacher, once explained to the class that lizards have an evolutionary defect that their lungs do not work while running. So when you see a lizard on the ground that zips away quickly after only to stop after 12 inches, that is so the lizard can catch their breath and continue running away.
Oh.
80% fact.
Super 80% fact.
That is.
Lizards can't breathe when running. Done.
Thomas has...
that teacher thinking he's like shaping young minds. Just imparting my knowledge on kids.
Well, it'd be even better if he was also a maths teacher and just like halfway through a math lesson, he was like, eight times, by the way, have you ever noticed the lizards stop running after 12
inches? Frogs can talk. They just don't do it when you're around.
It's like the gag in Mystery Men that the invisible boy can only go invisible if no one is looking at him. Thomas emails in. He's got a bunch of 80% facts. Hi, guys. Here are some 80% facts that me and my girlfriend and some friends have discussed. Coca-Cola is green before they put the food coloring in.
Ooh.
Do you know that one? I've heard that one before.
Oh, it's just horrible. But that's worse because they're putting brown in it.
But I don't know if that one's right, though, because surely it's the... Oh, maybe it's the cola... flavoring, but the kind of flavoring is brown.
I mean, it's just soda water, isn't it?
Yeah,
with brown in it.
Soda Stream. Here's another one. The first barcode ever was on a Wrigley's chewing gum packet. Although he's written Wrigley's chewing gum, so it might have been on the actual gum itself as opposed to the packet that it was housed in. Coca-Cola is the only brand known by every single person in the world. That can't be tracked, surely.
Yeah,
there's no way.
There's no metric test for this.
That's absolutely.
It's not even an imperial.
That's an impossible thing. Frankenstein's monster's name was Adam. That's incorrect. It was Prometheus. Cornflakes were invented to prevent masturbation due to their blandness and lack of excitement.
I guess that's, yeah.
It could well
they
be.
Were like, morning wood is a serious issue.
Kellogg, something about
Mr. Kellogg, fix this problem! No one's getting to work!
And he's like, well, it just so happens that I have invented.
These bland flakes.
And lastly, he emailed, I actually switched, I go through like phase of switching my cereal out every now and again. I went through a Weetabix phase, and then after a while I was like, I'm going to have a change up. I'm going to have cornflakes.
I don't mind cornflakes nowadays, man.
I don't mind them either. I mean, because I have a lot of raisins on it anyway, so like it all tastes like raisins at the end
of
the day.
And I need to bring my lust levels down in the morning. That's the key. I'm considering switching to all brown to really take it away in the hopes that my down there just... Drops off
completely.
Problem ice solved.
I've recently switched back again to Rice Krispies, I used to love when I was a kid.
You've got to have a kids' month. This is it. This is a nostalgic cereal month.
And it really has been, because I'm not going. I can't do honey nuts cornflakes as much as I would bloody love to, because they're a bit sweet, but they're also very delicious. They make that little honeyness in the milk at the end delightful. But I think I might switch to muesli.
I only like grandma cereals. I only like crunchy nuts.
Like muesli.
But yeah, muesli, I'm into that.
Yeah.
Granola.
Oh, granola, mate. I'm all about granola.
Yeah, see.
And I used to work at my previous place of employment. They had a Costa pop-up in the middle of the office. And they had like a yogurt and granola thing that you could buy that also had honey in it.
Whoa.
And it was... quite delightful.
Breakfast is the best meal.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it's the best meal of the day.
If you're not eating breakfast, you're doing life wrong.
Absolutely. You can be so...
I sometimes have two breakfasts. I am a hobbit.
I think you could be so much more creative with breakfast than you can with some other meals.
And also, breakfast is great because sometimes as a treat, you can just go breakfast for dinner.
Yeah, absolutely. Brinner.
Yeah, it's so good.
So good. And lastly, Thomas sends in for this 80% fact. Carrots used to be purple, but the colour was phased out due to the colour orange being more appetizing. Oh, man. Was that why the aubergine industry is really down at the moment, or eggplant for our American listeners?
Oh, no.
Oh, dang it. And they've already taken the color orange.
Purple.
Well, thank you very much for that email, Tom. That is all we've got time for on this episode of the show. Thank you so much for listening. Ollie and I will be back tomorrow with the magazine version of this show, which you will be able to watch a day early live
on WrestleTalk.com, because we'll be live streaming it to WrestleTalk.com, and then, yeah, you'll be able to watch that in its entirety, or listen to it as a podcast on Saturday with the intros and outros, etc. I hope you enjoy the show. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.